Today is Quinquagesimus Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and if I have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We now see through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we see in the epistle the dissertation of St. Paul regarding the virtue of charity. It's a famous dissertation, and it helps to clear up many misconceptions that are had regarding this great virtue. In the world today, they talk about love or charity. They write poems about it. Much ink has been spent to describe what it's all about. Many poems have been written, and many songs have been sung. But with all of the things that they are said, and all the things that are sung, it simply manifests that people don't know what it's all about. They have a profound lack of knowledge about what real charity is all about. They think they know. And oftentimes they mistake charity for something which is on the emotional level or on the level of the passions. It's important for us to understand what it's all about, because if we don't, we will be just like those who are ignorant. And of course, we are not meant to be ignorant. We're meant to know what it's all about. And of course, St. Paul talks about that this is the greatest of all the virtues. Charity is the greatest of all. He says elsewhere, it's the bond of perfection. But we need to understand more about what it's all about, especially as we are here on the threshold of Lent. And we'll proceed to talk about that in a little bit. You know what charity is by the catechism. You learn it. Catechism is a great treasury of knowledge, a treasury of knowledge that's given to us that gives us in a very concise, succinct form the truths of our faith and explains them in such a way that it has a great exactitude. People in general are very sloppy about what things mean, about what when they talk about things, they use words in ways that are very, it shows that they have a lack of use of the language. And the catechism gives the precise meanings and explanations of things so that we understand what it's about. It's a great gift to have the catechism. I know the students sometimes don't like to have to memorize it, but it's a great help to them, whether they know it or not. Let's look and see what the catechism says about charity. Just very basic catechism. Charity is a supernatural virtue. It's a theological virtue. It has God as its immediate object. So it's a theological virtue, okay, in which we love God above all things, okay, in which we love God above all things and we love others as ourselves for the sake of God. So the motive is the love of God in any event. Even when we love our neighbor, when we have this charity towards our neighbor, it's because of the fact that we, for the sake of God. It's not because we find them appealing, that we find them likable, that we love them. It's because we love them for the sake of God. They're a creature of God. They're capable of heaven. Okay? And we have to have this supernatural virtue. It's not on the natural level. We can have even a great charity for someone, even if we have a natural aversion toward them. Okay. But it's motivated by the love of God. And it either, first and foremost, it has to do with God immediately, but then even when we love neighbor, charity has a motive of loving God indirectly. Okay. And it's important for us to understand that that's what it really is. That's what it really is. And that love means it has to be enduring as well. You know, how many times people say, well, you know, they have trouble in their marriage and they say, well, I don't love him or I don't love her anymore. Where is the charity? Love of God should be sustained even if you have difficulties in a marriage. I would have to guess also that when a young couple, when they decide that they want to get married, they really don't have a great love for one another. They may like each other. They might have an affection towards one another, but they don't really have a charity towards one another. It's not there yet. It only comes through years of marriage. So when we look and we see charity, we also can take a look and see what St. Paul talks about when he talks about what charity is. He gives certain characteristics of what charity is. And it's interesting to see what his first characteristic is when he talks about charity. He says charity is patient. Patient. Okay. That comes from the Latin word which means to suffer. Strange. I never thought there was suffering involved in charity, but there is. There is. There's suffering in charity. And if we bring it back and start to think about what charity is, it's the love of God, it means it's giving of self. There's something of giving of self involved, of emptying of self. It's interesting when you think about this desire to be charitable. It's something which is definitely something which is we learn as we grow and we develop. It's not something that we naturally have. When you're it's interesting when parents are raising children and they teach them to talk. Of course, the first word out of their mouth is mama. Second word is dada. The third word that they usually learn is mine. That's what they learn. They know that. By his poor little nature, he has a tendency to be selfish. Selfishness is kind of something that's built into us. We try to ascribe things to ourselves. You know, I want that. That's mine. You know? Charity is exactly the opposite. It's a giving of self. It's this giving of self where we see another person, where we see God as linked to us. It's different than the virtue of justice. Justice is a virtue where we see the other person as distinct from us, and we have to give to that other person what is due to him. Charity sees the other person as bonded to us, and that we want to give everything for them. We are linked together. It's the bond of perfection. It's the part which links us together as members of the mystical body of Christ. And so we see each other as linked to us, and we are willing to give to one another because they are bonded to us. And we consider the other as linked to us, as joined to us. We are joined to God by charity. We're joined to God by grace. There are just different aspects of the same thing. And so when we are such that we are joined together in this way, we find ourselves so that we can make sacrifices easily because the other is joined to us. We will give because maybe there's a lack somewhere else. Think of the fact when we talk about the mystical body and when we think about it with regard to our own selves. You know, if, for instance, maybe we have an arm in a cast because it's broken. The other arm has to do more to make up for the fact that there's a deficiency in the one arm. And it does so willingly. It makes up for the deficiency in the other arm. And so it is in the mystical body. When there's a deficiency somewhere with another member, we work to make up for that deficiency. We're willing to give. We do so without even hardly thinking about it. Because we're joined to that other person by charity, by that supernatural virtue. We're joined together and we're part of that mystical body. And we give, and the level to which we give and sacrifice is the level to which we actually practice that virtue of charity. You know, in the modern world, as I say, they talk about love, but they don't know what it is. And they think sacrifice is a four-letter word. Don't count the letters. Okay. Sacrifice is necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary in order to make things work. And of course, it is that sacrifice that we see that, of course, is such that we see that ultimately and in its perfection in our Lord. In the gospel, we see that our Lord predicts his passion. Right here as we get ready to begin the beginning of Lent. And of course, it says the apostles didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't understand that our Lord had to make this sacrifice to redeem mankind. And he made this sacrifice out of love for men. He had this charity in him to the eminent degree. And so it is. And so it is. This life, to the extent that we make a success of it, is the degree to which we make sacrifices out of the love of God, for the love of God. We need to understand that this is part of life and that we need to be generous in this regard. And it's a good thing to think about as we begin this season of Lent. As I say, words are cheap and we have to work to put this idea of practicing charity into effect. And as we begin this Lent, it's important for us to understand a little bit better what this is all about, so that we can make a good Lent. You know, as oftentimes what happens with people is as they begin Lent and they go through Lent, oh, they're so sad that our Lord had to suffer like this, it's a very emotional thing, and then they cry, and they are weeping, and their emotions are all excited, and all these kind of things, and they're sad about that. And they see our Lord, and they kiss his cross on Good Friday, all these things, and they're not bad, don't get me wrong. But it's not penetrating to the depth of the soul to understand what he's doing, what he's going for, and what he's asking of us. Because then on Easter, then we feel happy when he was risen from the dead, and then we go on with life as usual. Lent is more than that. It's much more than that. It's to understand this whole spirit of sacrifice, which our Lord shows us, is a part of our life. We offer what we have and what we can do for others for the love of God. And that means that our resolutions will be such that they have to relate to these ideas. We have to relate to these ideas. So the first thing, of course, that we have to resolve, and we need to resolve, of course, even when we go to confession, is that we will give up this life of sin. Sin is an offense against God. It's directly against the virtue of charity. And so we have to make up our minds, and we have to make good on avoiding sin, to stop offending God by these sins, which, of course, we show that we do not want to serve him. It's the first thing. It's the cause of him having to die on the cross. But it's more than that. It's more than that. That's for starters. The other thing that we have to resolve, a resolution, is that we want to perform our duties of state. Our duties of state bind us. They oblige us. It's a very minimal way of which we show our love for God. By doing the things that we ought to do, according to our station life, that we do them and do them well for the love of God. At Fatima, it was Our Lady, Blessed Virgin Mary, who said that in itself is quite a penance. In addition to performing our duties of state, one of the things which is a prerequisite for that is also to take away those things which distract us or are obstacles for the fulfillment of that duty of state. Ooh. Okay. Those things are nasty too, we have to do. These are things that are all obliging us, that are kind of indicated by the fact that we are meant to practice this virtue of charity. It's underlying that. It's presuming that. It's to deny ourselves those things which are obstacles to loving God and work to open ourselves up to love God more by the fact that we're willing to do these things and willing to make the sacrifices and willing to do what God wants. And so it's important for us to write down those concrete things which we know are obstacles to the fulfillment of our duties, and also to write down those things where we're negligent in fulfilling our duties with regard to our state in life, with regard to our obligations to God, with regard to those things that we should be doing daily, and put into concrete practice that those things that will help us fulfill that end. That's what we need to do now. Don't wait till Holy Week to think that, well, maybe I've made a mess of Lent and haven't done anything. Procrastination is one of the problems that we have. Poor human beings we are, we like to put things off. We have kind of an attitude of mañana. Mañana, mañana. Okay. Well, anyway, we can't do that. We're at the Sunday right before Lent starts, so let's use this day to get things in order. Do it now, today, today, hodie, not mañana, okay? So, anyway, it's important for you to do that. And, of course, in all of this, we look to a model who was faithful in fulfilling her duties and practicing charity to the eminent degree. And that person, that creature, was the Blessed Virgin Mary. She did everything for the love of God from her earliest youth, always wanting to please God, always wanting to do the best thing possible. When the theologians write about her and talk about what she did and how she did it, you find it kind of amazing. She never had self involved at all. It was always what does God want? It's interesting that when they talk about her charity, they bring up this virtue of charity in some of the books of practical theology. And they talk about her charity, and it's interesting. We merit by our charity, and to the degree that we have charity, the more we merit. And so, in the books of theology, one of the comparisons that they make, that are made, are between the charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the charity of the martyrs in giving up their lives for the faith. And they make that comparison. And they talk about something as simple as the Blessed Virgin Mary sweeping the floor at Nazareth. And they compare the merit she gained by sweeping the floor at Nazareth with the merit that the martyrs gain by dying for the love of God, making an act of faith. And they say that the Blessed Virgin Mary gained more merit by sweeping the floor at Nazareth than the martyrs did by shedding their blood for the faith, because she had a greater degree of charity than anyone else. Okay? Something for us to think about. Something for us to think about. In this, when we talk about this idea or this virtue of charity, it's something very important for us to think about and to think about and also put into practice. To mentally put ourselves such that we do, the motivation that we have for doing things is the love of God. We'll do so with a greater fervor, we'll do so with a greater generosity if we do it and do it for the right motive. And so, as we are here on the threshold of Lent, let us resolve to make those changes that need to be made, reinforce the good things that we are doing, and to motivate them by charity, so that we will be able to make of this a good Lent, and be able to accompany Our Lady to Calvary, so that we can compassionate our dear Savior who goes to Calvary, who goes to the cross, to shed His blood for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.